That I don't know what that was.
That's little horns at the end.
Oh, that was the horns?
Yes. You're like my I was a music major, damn it.
Okay, sure. I was an economics major, but I don't do well with economics either. Oh, man.
All right.
Welcome to full episode of Dames of Hallsnark. This is Jennifer.
This is Christy.
This is Sarah.
Woohoo! We watched Netflix's 2020 original Love, Wedding, Repeat. It stars Olivia Munn, Sam Coughlin, Eleanor Tomlinson, Frida Pinto, and then a bunch of other people that you'll look at them and be like, oh, I saw him in a thing, but let me look up IMDb to see what thing it was. I know I recognize that face or that voice or that whatever.
Mm-hmm. I know that guy.
Exactly. IMDb describes it as, while trying to make his sister's wedding day go smoothly, Jack finds himself juggling an angry ex-girlfriend, an uninvited guest with a secret, a misplaced sleep sedative, and the girl that got away with an alternative version of the same day.
Well, no, it says with alternate versions.
Alternate versions of the same day.
Which is so misleading. I totally thought that this was going to be a Groundhog Day, but clearly we only got two versions.
Well, you get many versions, and that's another note, and we can go ahead and jump down on the Google Doc, but the reason it was called, like, I literally had a note, like, why is this, where's the repeat? Like, you're probably 45, 50 minutes into it before you actually go, oh, repeats because of the changing of the whatever place cards.
There's not much of a repeat. It's more of a what if this happened. So I'll say what I feel like it was when we get into called it. I mean, we did called it on the preview, which kind of was good to go from the trailer.
Well, we got a report. We had to do our called it report card
though. Oh yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. We need a called it refresher probably too.
For sure.
Yeah. So,
all right. So the movie IMDb gives it 5.5 out of 10. It has a 34% rotten on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I think it was better than that.
People did not seem, and that was the critic score. The audience score was a little bit higher at 38%, but that's not much better.
I feel like the reason why it didn't get as much love is it pulls very, very heavily from every other. Oh God, what's his name? Floppy hair, British guy.
Hugh Grant.
Yeah, it pulls from like every Hugh Grant movie. So it didn't feel very original, but there were some really, truly laugh out loud like moments and lines.
It did have moments for sure.
Yes, which made me forgive it for being very, like there were some really, like some situations where I was like, kind of like tilting my head and going, what? No.
In what
way?
Why?
Why would that happen? And a lot of stuff was just like literally spoon fed to be like, I'm telling you about this now because this is going to be important in about 10 minutes.
Yeah. Here's Chekhov's gun.
Actually, you know what? Yeah. Hearing you say that stuff, I'm like, yeah, I guess like a 40 would be a fair score because it wasn't like, oh, this is so different. I was like, oh, that's fun. Whatever. Yeah. So. It fits on our podcast. Yeah.
Well, and then in
general, you're saying Ryan thinks he doesn't belong in our podcast?
And disclaimer, he's never actually watched a full Hallmark movie. So, but he sat there and watched that movie with me because it has a bunch of people that he likes in it. So I was like, just sit down and watch it with me. I have to watch it anyway. And so he said, well, it doesn't really belong on the podcast because he says that this is like a traditional romantic comedy. But I think that the delineation he was making really had to do with budget.
Yeah,
I guess. Cause I'm like, we've watched mysteries too. So yeah.
Exactly. So it was one of those things where I'm like, it kind of, I could see a little bit where he was coming from, but I was just like, just because this has actual, like, you know, A-list stars in it, whereas, you know, we may have B-list stars from the 90s in our other movies.
Or A-list in their day.
A-list in their day, which I guess, I mean, I don't know how far you fall off the A-list. I've never been on any list, so I can't say.
Oh, Ryan, just one more person in the world today claiming to be an expert on something they've never seen before.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you.
Because he was like, this doesn't belong. And I was like, you've never sat and watched any of these fucking movies with me, so don't even.
Does he have the cure to coronavirus too?
I know, right?
It turns out it's not drinking bleach, so.
Oh, no, no, it's injecting it. It's injecting it? Injecting it.
Yeah, oh, it's injecting it, yeah.
Yeah, when you drink it, your stomach.
Wait. Our stupid-ass president redacted his statement and said, it was just a prank. I wanted to see what would happen.
Prank. You, the president, you can't play pranks on the American people.
Yeah, you don't prank.
Well, I mean, his whole presidency has been like one big prank. But
I'm still waiting for Ashton Kutcher to jump out and be like, punked!
Remember that kidding. Show from 2001?
Just kidding. Oh, gosh. Anyways, we digress. So my biggest complaint with this movie is that they didn't somehow make the narrator a character. They just call her the Oracle.
Yeah.
And she's just this weird voiceover person.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen her in person because she just, well, at first I thought the entire movie it was Judy Dench.
Judy Dench. I thought the exact same thing, and when I Googled it, I found a note or like some sort of British article online that said it's not Judy Dench, but it's Penny Ryder, who is one of Judy's closest friends.
Well, she was doing imitation.
She did a damn good Judy Dench, because I've heard Judy Dench over and over on Spaceship Earth for the last how many years, and I'm like, that's Judy Dench.
It sounded exactly like, maybe it's like that's how they became friends, because they were always in the exact same
same auditions.
Yes, auditions. Thank you. They get cast in the same thing, or it's like, well, we wanted Judy Dench, but you sound exactly like her. You're her voice twin, Penny Ryder.
I just wanted to imagine a world where Judy Dench was saying, a twat from the past, and gets kicked in the ball sack, and tits up, you know?
I guarantee Judy Dench just said tits up. I could probably find
absolutely.
Yeah, it's probably online
somewhere.
And I thought
it was adorable and went over well.
Yes. So... yeah, I did want that character to be an actual character, like to interact with them. Like, she could have been the grandma or something like that, but oh well, we can't have everything.
Nope. We get the Italian credits. I made a note that this was based on a motion picture called Plan de Table, which is French, but then the shots are in Italy, so it's like, I don't know.
I'm just, because it had an Italian film corporation like as the producers, I was like, okay, so was this, that's how they stayed under budget, there was an Italian company that produced it.
Yeah. I don't know.
It was gorgeous wherever they were, though.
I want to go there.
Actually, I know where they were. They were in Canada, I think.
They were in Canada, no.
Yeah, I feel like, where did I see? No, I'm sorry. Hey? I'm thinking something else I've been binge watching. Ignore me. Sorry.
So random.
Sorry. I have so many shows and movies that I've been watching and trying to keep track of, and then I just get them all blended in my brain.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Christy, I did make a note that there were subtitles.
I didn't mind those because it was moving the storyline. They weren't very fast, and I don't dislike subtitles. I dislike when somebody gets a text message and they don't show the screen long enough. Yeah, so I have to squint. Yeah, they were in Rome, Italy.
Yeah, you could tell because there were. Yeah, they didn't. This is like heads and tails and arms and legs above the sets that we get with our usual Hallmark movies.
It was gorgeous.
Because there was the budget.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. But it makes me wonder, though, it was like, because this was just like an Italian production, it was, you know, it was all one location, clearly, because the beginning street scenes could easily have been just down the street from wherever this villa was.
Oh, I'm sure. You know? Yeah. To rent that villa.
Yeah.
Would have been, I mean, it's huge.
It's gorgeous. I want to go to there. That was one of the other questions I had was, what do these people do for a living?
Like, I had that too. You know?
Because we find out at the end he's an engineer, and we know that Olivia Munn is a war, Dina is a war correspondent. Right. But we never know what the sister or the fiance does, but
nope.
We know the fiance is Italian. They're friends with, these are the clues I wrote down. They're friends with a big Italian director.
Yeah.
We know because Brian wants to impress the director. So he's obviously an aspiring actor. The wedding looks hella expensive.
Yeah. Which that's a whole nother conversation when we get later on.
Yeah.
About where was her freaking wedding planner? Why is her brother having to handle all this?
Yeah. if you think you're spending that much money to have a wedding in a place like that, you would think you would have someone coordinating your day.
Mm-hmm. Usually.
Like, and typically, you know, traditionally, and I'm not all about all traditions, but traditionally the bride's parents pay for the wedding.
But they did.
So again, where'd the money come from? Because what?
Someone works, like, yeah, or I'm going to say drugs.
I don't know.
Probably.
It's just weird. We never really find out what she does. We just know that she gets relocated to Rome. And then 6 months later, she's marrying this guy. So that, to me, was also another thing. It was like, okay.
Were they dating at the time that, because it was 6 months from the time that Jack and Dina had met, but they, maybe she was already dating.
No, actually, I think it was like, there was a 2 year span.
Because six months seems weird to me. I'm like, I thought it was a couple of years. But.
No, it was a couple of years between the opening scene where the awkward, oh God, I'm sorry, we skipped over that part. We should talk about how funny that scene was.
Oh, that scene is funny, like the very first. But then it's also, I understand what the critics are saying, because it's like, does every British man, are they all bumbly?
They're all bumbling, you know, they stumble, they apparently stutter.
It doesn't matter how handsome you are, because if you're Sam Claflin, you're still bumbly.
And I guess the trope in this one is that there's always there's three different instances of four characters that were just completely clueless and not paying attention to the situation.
Oh, yeah.
We have the college roommate who doesn't realize that he's interrupting a sweet moment.
Sure.
And, you know, calling him a wanker in front of this beautiful woman.
Oh, yeah. Clearly, you don't want to talk about how we called him because he jerked it so much.
He jerked it so much with his big penis, apparently, that he has.
What the one guy said.
And then we have the bag of tropes, goofy girlfriend friend who is awkward and says the inappropriate thing. Then we have Brian, who's just dumb. He's hilarious, but he's sweet, dumb. But dumb. And then we have the kilt guy who just cannot take. So, I mean, she basically, all of her friends are freaking idiots. You know, it's like how did they meet up with this troop of just doofuses with no social cues. No social cues at all. So it was kind of weird. And I mean, she herself, the bride, Eleanor, or what's her name in the
Eleanor
movie?
Oh fuck,
I think it is
no Eleanor. Her name is Eleanor in real life. That's the actress's name.
The bride.
She it's like a Quentin Tarantino movie. We'll call her.
Yeah.
It's Haley. She's Haley.
Haley, that's right. She reveals at the end that she's kind of a train wreck herself and always messing up things and everything like that. So
yeah, it seems it.
Yeah. So yeah, so that was kind of the craziness there.
So we dipped into the bag of tropes. Are we doing the whole bag of tropes?
Because you kind of just do some more. Let's pull out more bag of tropes.
Let's snap all right. that open.
Let's
then
do
we'll
it.
Skip back to the top part here.
Bag of tropes.
Oh, what's in my bag of tropes? Oh, what's in my bag of tropes? Wacky best friends pairs who misunderstand. So much more in my bag of tropes.
Boom.
I put the trope that I thought of was just the whole like proper behavior and how to act thing. So like what you said with just people being idiots and interrupting constantly. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that is a trope.
No social
awareness.
Oh, I'm
about to say, great, here's this person just interrupting everything we're doing. But like my trope was just him just being like, it's like, stop. Like I get the whole
just
British
go ahead and kiss her, damn it.
Proper bullshit. But I'm like, you know, it takes him the entire movie. Like, you're right, the entire movie to be like, fuck off.
Yeah. That was, yeah. That was the one thing I was like, the culmination wasn't even a conversation.
Yeah. But that's the thing is, like, who are you? So there's British proper behavior, and then he goes and just completely tells someone to fuck off. Yeah. How about you just say, excuse me, we're having a private conversation.
Which he finally does do that to Kilt Guy, but you can see it just makes him so uncomfortable. Where he's like, he's trying to like hint.
No, hey, just the two of them.
And then finally he just goes, okay, you need to go away.
No one in this movie can take a hint too, because if you'll also go back to the scene where the ex-boyfriend shows up, the bride is clearly trying to just shoo him off, and the groom is like, oh no, we got plenty, go ahead, come in. And I was like, your marriage is not going to last very long if you can't take a hint from her, bro.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
It's, no,
maybe it was a language barrier.
I chalked that up to language barrier and him just being so happy
that he got married.
Like, it's okay, come on in.
The more the merrier. It'll be great.
Yeah.
But that's the trope I had written down. Otherwise, Jen had a couple decent ones.
Mm-hmm.
We touched on dead parents already.
Mm.
And then the fact that you have dead parents, so then the siblings, it basically end up raising themselves, so the older brother has more of a paternal relationship, like a mix of brother paternal kind of relationship with the sister. And then we, you know, spoilers for the movie, you guys really don't listen to if you didn't watch the movie, but at the point where she admits that she slept with her ex-boyfriend, she says, and this is the classic rom-com everything, it was an accident.
Yeah. I think I've added my notes there. How do you accidentally sleep with somebody? He slipped and fell into your vagina.
Exactly. It's like, I've never slept with anyone by accident. You guys?
No.
No. Now, have I chosen to have a good time with somebody and then the next day been like, I wish I wouldn't have done that, but
I've regretted having sex with people.
Yeah, yes. She retroactively had said it was a mistake because she had gone to the bar and they started talking and they got drunk, and next thing she knows. But she didn't know that.
But that's not what an accident is.
No. You just cheated on your fiance moment. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I hate that they kind of just glossed that over, you know. Yeah. even in the retelling at first, like when they were retelling the story, I was like, is she never going to own up to it? Are we never going to find this out? And then she finally does it, tell her brother.
Yeah,
and I'm like, it still doesn't make it okay.
And it's one of those things where, like, my thought was like, so now you get to start your marriage, keeping this secret.
Forever,
yeah.
I don't know if I could.
Yeah.
I know I would never cheat on someone, but if I did, I would end up telling them within like a week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, never say never, but I don't think I'd be able to keep it secret.
I wouldn't.
She's gonna be miserable.
I would feel too bad.
She's gonna be miserable. I mean, and you kind of see that on her face at the end where she's like at the beginning of the movie. I mean, this actress, she was so beautiful.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
Amazing.
She's on the show that Ryan and I watch a lot, all of, is called Poldark. It's one of those period pieces. Okay. So she's on it.
I've heard it's good. Also,
the guy who plays the ex is like just that sniveling. He's the
bastard.
He's not a good guy on the show. But yeah, so they're both on it. And I was like, all my Poldark people are on this.
Yeah, that's so cool. But like I was saying, at the beginning of the movie, she's just glowing and she's radiant. And by the end of the movie, like every time she smiles, her eyes are just like so sad. Like she's miserable.
And she's holding it together.
It's like, so.
Yeah. The acting in this was good, speaking of. I mean, in general, it was good acting. It's, you know, is it the best movie ever? No. But it was fun.
Yeah.
That's all I had for tropes. That's the only thing I wrote down, that whole, like, proper behavior thing. I'm like, well, that went out the window many times in this movie with other characters. Like, get yourself together, dude. Just go through it. But, yeah, did you guys have anything else for tropes? I think that's it.
No, I think we all kind of overlapped each other as far as that. I mean, I don't know if it's a trope, but like I said, it's the similarities of every British rom-com having the same types of characters and the same bumbling English guy.
So, I think that you guys have more of it, because I've never even seen Four Weddings and a Funeral.
What?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
It's possible by living and never seeing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. Hugh Grant is super charming. It's painful though to watch Andy McDowell try to act. Not Andy McDowell. Is that who it is?
Yeah.
She's the main curly hair.
Yeah. She's terrible in it. Like this, I think
was
probably her first acting gig.
Oh.
She was bad.
She's not great in it. It's not the best thing I've seen her do.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, she has a line at the very end where they're standing in the rain. He's like, I can't believe I'm standing here in the rain with you. She's like, is it raining? I had it noticed. I swear to God, I just did like an exact line reading. It's bad.
I forgot about that part till you said it. And I'm like, yeah, it was really
bad. Yeah, it was pretty bad. Is it raining? I hadn't. Oh, that's because I think she's Southern in it and her Southern accent.
Well, she's Southern in real life.
Is
so
she?
Her Southern accent should be good.
It was terrible.
Yeah. Like, I think she's from Texas or something.
She was terrible.
Hold on.
Much
now
better in Groundhog Day. Yeah, she was much better in Groundhog Day. Like
She's amazing in Groundhog Day.
She took an acting class.
Yeah, she's from South Carolina. So she's pretty Southern. Speaking of similarities in the movies, Peter Tavers from Rolling Stone says, at least the Italian scenery and the stranded actors look good. Just don't mistake this charmless, mirthless, and shameless ripoff of Four Weddings and a Funeral and Groundhog Day for a comedy with actual laughs.
Oh, damn.
He gave it a 1.5 out of 5. He hated it.
I mean, I only laughed in this movie, I think, like, 3 or 4 times. And when I did laugh, I did laugh.
Yeah.
But it wasn't hilarious. It was more stressful than anything, honestly.
Yeah.
Because you feel, like, awkward for the characters?
Yeah, / screaming at him, like, just freaking say, hey, I will talk to you in 10 minutes. I'm in the middle of something here. Yeah. Can you give us a second?
Yeah.
Like, that's not even being rude. That's just being, like, honest. Like, just say something, dude. It was driving me absolutely nuts. But.
Yeah. My genuine laughs were from the Brian character.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And
Then Sam Claflin when he's sleeping.
Oh, yeah. Aisling B's character was really good.
Yeah, she had some funny lines, too, where it's just like, you know?
Yeah.
Then the scene in the bathroom, which was in the trailer.
It paid off.
It totally paid off. And I knew it was coming, like, the second they walked in, because I'd seen it in the trailer.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was taking a sip of my drink, and I, like, laughed so hard, I inhaled. I literally almost died. Because I was like, I mean, that actually made me laugh so hard. So,
yeah, I did love Brian.
And some of Olivia Munn's delivery when she's talking to Kilt Guy, yeah, she's so deadpan.
She did a good job.
She's funny.
She is that character in most things.
Yeah, the kind of blunt, like,
where she's like, yeah, really blunt role, and like, intelligent, really, but I know I'm beautiful, so I know why you're talking to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've only ever seen her play that type of character.
Yeah.
Yep.
She has one line when it's in the second part after she's been doing shots and everything like that. She's like, you know, so drunk and all that. She's like, I need bread. Just stumbles off.
Yes.
And I was like, yes, girl.
Been there.
Yes. I've
been
there. There are a couple parts that I was
that
like,
that was me last night, y'all. Yeah.
My favorite line of hers is when she was talking to Kilt Guy, and the Kilt Guy said something about, she was talking, because she's a war journalist, she was talking about something where, like, you know, they had been invaded, and she said, oh, I hate it. He goes, well, I hate it when they were uninvited, right?
The Taliban
goes,
were uninvited.
Were the Taliban uninvited?
And then he gets, like, all creepy. Yeah. And he goes, what were you wearing?
Yeah, exactly. What were you wearing? Oh my God. Their conversations were, I thought they were good.
Yeah, those are the moments that I, like, laughed out loud. I was like, that's pretty funny.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
In a, like, oh God, stop talking kind of way.
And maybe because your background is The Office, but it's in a Michael Scott kind of way.
It
very is. Yeah.
That was the vibe I was getting, but besides, like, not even Michael Scott, like, the original, like, Ricky Gervais, like, because Ricky Gervais was even way worse than Michael Scott as far as, like...
Well, they didn't give him any lovability.
How much he would say before someone would cut him off or stop him, and I'm like, oh my God.
It's funny, Matt won't watch The Office for that situation. It's kind of like you, Sarah. It's like, if people are being awkward and uncomfortable, he's like, ugh, I can't watch this. This makes me uncomfortable. And so,
I watched it all.
Yeah.
But I get why people go, I can't do it. I watched both offices. I get it. It is not fun.
Can't watch the British Office. Like, we'll watch the American Office because it's funny and everything. But Ricky Gervais is so awkward.
Like, they don't give him any other sides. Like, because we wanted, well, in American shows, we want him to last forever, which The Office kind of did. They make Michael Scott have lovable moments where it's like, oh, you feel sad for him because he didn't have friends as a child, or you feel sad for him. But like with the British version, they don't give him any of that. He's just.
And he has no remorse either. In the British version, he's just like, I'm great. Why doesn't everyone love me?
I don't get it.
No, there's not as much depth there, for sure.
I'm too sexy for my shirt. She's got the look. She's got the look.
So shall we speak about fashion? Because I feel like this movie had some good fashion.
Yes, it did.
Let's stroll down Fashion Street de Italiano.
Okay, you need to get an Italian version of the fashion.
No, I'm not going to do any.
No big deal, Jen. You don't edit this and spend a bunch of time on it. It's fine.
No,
just,
I'm not going
to. You know,
to.
Make a new version of Fashion Street.
We just have to figure out how to say I'm too sexy in Italian.
Oh, I might just add someone saying ciao at the end.
Ciao. Oh, there you go. So I have some notes on fashion. You guys had some stuff too. Who wants to go first?
You guys go first.
My biggest thing was just that wedding dress. Ugh, if you had to spend an entire movie in one costume, that's the one to do it. It was so beautiful.
It was.
Yeah. I did not like the wedding dress.
You didn't?
But it was pretty. What are the reasons you did not like it, Jen? Because I liked it, but there was one thing about it I hated.
Okay. And I think it's the same thing I hated, too. So.
Anybody want to say it?
No, you tell. What did you not like about it?
I don't love lacy things. I, in general, didn't like the laciness of it.
Okay. Oh. I like some lace. It depends on how it looks. So her straps, I made, like, it wasn't a lace pattern. It was, like, a floral pattern that was made from, like, a lace.
Yeah.
And then it interwoven in the dress. I thought it was beautiful. I loved how there was, like, the see-through, like, kind of netting. So it looked a lot more va-va-voom than it really was. Yeah. What I hated, and I bet it's Christie's thing too, because it's almost like the zipper on the really nice dress is from the back, and it shows it in the trailer. So watch the trailer to remember the fashion real quick. There's a huge row of buttons that go up her dress on the sheer part, and it ruins the whole effect. Yeah. And I'm like,
because
what are you people doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Literally, like the front is gorgeous, and then the back, you're like, oh, it just looks terrible.
Well, you know, it's funny. I didn't notice the sheer. In the front.
Oh, I did.
When they were putting the makeup, well, in the very beginning of the movie, when they're putting her makeup on and doing everything, I was like, what a gorgeous dress. So her skin is so light that it really blended with her skin.
Yes.
But as the movie went on, and I think maybe because she was just doing so much movement in it, it started like bunching. And
I thought
like,
the netting wasn't necessary because it wasn't like a super low cut. Like the only time you usually see netting like that is if they try to do like a super deep V and then they'll be netting. But so hers was a modest neckline. So why was it
necessary?
I
actually had to rewind it and be like, is that a different dress? Did she have that netting in the beginning?
Unless it helped, like, for sewing in the straps.
That's
the straps
only thing
so
I can
ornate,
think of.
Like, something to have it hold on to,
like
I guess.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty, but I had notes on her hair, too. Like, her hair was very simple, but I liked the back, like, the roll instead of a bun. It was very, like, 50s kind of.
Yeah. And well, she had 40s, a veil 50s. That looked, the veil looked pretty in her hair.
Yeah.
It was really nice. Okay. Yeah. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
I know that you love you some Sam Claflin, and I think he's a gorgeous man.
His hair was
terrible. What the fuck was his hair in this movie?
That was my first note. I'm like, what is up with your hair, Sam?
What is his hair? Unless
he
had a
beautiful
movie that
curls.
It was shaved.
Maybe.
Like, and that's his hair growing out, but like, put him in a damn wig.
His hairline started halfway back behind his head. Yeah,
he looked like he cut his own hair during this fucking pandemic. I'm like, what is this? It was horrible. Like, you're in a wedding.
That's what I'm doing later on today.
You gotta cut hair again.
Anything.
Yeah, Matt's hair's already grown out, so we're clipping his hair again. So, yeah, it was bad. I hated his hair.
Yes.
And the only other fashion street that I had, and Jen has a couple, I know. But Frida Pinto. Who wears red to a wedding? That's rude.
You think? Really? I thought you just couldn't wear white or black.
I think it's a color.
I don't know. I don't know. It's always, for me, it's always been like, you know, when if it's a wedding, you dress like in subtle florals. You don't wear white, obviously. But, you know, or like you try to match the colors of the wedding. And so like my wedding
what?
Was green.
No, I've never tried to match the colors of the wedding.
Not match the colors, but just, you know, just, but you don't want
to. The vibe.
You want the vibe of it. Yeah, like I had a beachy wedding, so everybody dressed very beachy and sort of thing like that.
Right.
But like wearing that red outfit, it's like, look at me. I mean, of course, Frida Pinto's gorgeous.
Well, yeah, she looked amazing.
She's a beautiful woman. But it's just like, yeah, I don't know. But I could say the same thing about Olivia Munn too. Her dress was very, you know, beautiful. But it was more
I love
fitting.
Her dress. It was
but it was yeah, more fitting for the wedding with the florals yeah. and
it was like a country vineyard type style. So like her dress was that was my main note was like her dress. Fit her so well it was so beautiful. The color I wouldn't necessarily go with that color like the yellowy greenish whatever but she looks so pretty like that dress is gorgeous I don't care about red to a wedding. I feel like anything's fine as long as you don't wear white.
I think you're not supposed to wear black
dress, is that amazing too. I wear black all the time.
Oh yeah, black, especially if it's like a night wedding.
Well, oh, yeah, I thought you weren't supposed to because it was like a bad, like you disagreed with the marriage or something.
No. It's the 2000s. Like maybe back in the day you weren't supposed to, but I don't think that matters anymore anyway. But for wearing a red dress and being a beautiful woman, I literally wrote meh for her outfit.
Yeah.
It did nothing for me. It was just there. And I also wrote for the character Brian, I really liked his blue suit. Because I like a good, like, royal blue. Like, it was a beautiful suit. He looked really nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all good. I got.
The only note that I had was that when they were making fun of Frida Pinto's boyfriend, he does look like a magician. And it was hilarious. It was a good joke where he was like, oh, so you're not doing the cabaret. Oh, okay.
Yeah, or a cabaret singer is what I would say. So, yeah, that's about right. That's
so
about
I was right. Like, was yeah, funny. No, she's spot on with that.
That was pretty funny. And then the guy with the kilt who wasn't even Scottish is like, why are you wearing a kilt then?
Yeah, because there were a lot of notes in mine where I was like, okay, so I know Scottish people of Scottish heritage will wear kilts, like if you're in the bridal party or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Or just any formal events, you know.
Oh, really? But then I feel like I don't see Scottish people wearing kilts to things. Unless it's like the Highland Games in Dunedin.
Yeah, it's a choice nowadays, and just, well, okay, my ex-husband, his mother's side of the family is Scottish, and they go and they have a table at the Highland Games in Ulsterbank. So there's regular everyday kilts, there's formal kilts, there's a whole thing, there's a whole deal. But
I mean, I know that from Sex in the City, because Kyle McLaughlin's family is like that.
Yeah.
True. I mean, I liked it that he wore a kilt, but yeah, it's kind of like, you don't do that unless you actually are Scottish or you're at like the Highland Games. So it's like, let's all be Scottish for the day.
It wasn't asked of him. And also he was clearly uncomfortable in it. It's one of those, like anytime with any fashion thing, if you're exactly. Be comfortable in it. Like if it's your first time wearing high heels, even everyone's going to notice that you look uncomfortable in your high heels.
When he handed his drink to that lady so he could just take care of.
Oh my God.
And like, oh my God. I was just like, this guy.
And then went to shake her hand.
He's just not, he's a mess.
He's clearly supposed to be part, like, on the spectrum because anybody, like, that's having a thing like that at a wedding, especially something that fancy, is going to be very, very self-conscious. Like, you go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
You put your drink on the sink. And you adjust yourself in the goddamn bathroom, and then you wash your hands.
Yeah, he's a mess. He's a mess.
No, he would spread coronavirus like nobody.
Yes, he would.
He would be patient zero.
Yes, he would. He would be patient zero.
Yes.
Oh.
So, yeah, I think that's about it for Fashion Street. Wrap that
Agreed.
Up.
Agreed.
C'est la vie, fashion. No, that's definitely
that's French.
French.
Mm-hmm. Ciao.
Ciao is apparently the only Italian I know.
Isn't ciao kind of like hola or not hola?
Bellissima.
Aloha.
Bellissimo.
Bellissima.
Oh, I know prego because I think it's real ballsy to name your spaghetti sauce. You're welcome.
Oh.
Oh gosh, I had an Italian teacher in college, and she used to say, I can't remember it, but Allora, I think, which is like, like now. Okay, now. Oh, she would be like, they're like, she would just always, Allora, Allora.
That,
like,
makes sense. In Spanish, it's Ahora.
So, I don't know. We might be just massacring the Italian language. I don't know. I got a C in the class, so.
True. Yeah.
No. Because one of my coworkers likes to say, C's get degrees.
You know what? Not wrong.
That's a line of wisdom for all you college students out there.
It's fine. It's fine.
You're fine. Hey, you'll still get this. I don't have a good grade point average. No.
Listen, ain't nobody that hired me after college go, okay, so we'd like to see your actual transcripts.
Like, unless
you graduated, great.
No, the only time it was asked is like when I went to graduate school, they wanted to know.
Yes.
That was literally the only time anyone ever asked my
name.
They're not going to care otherwise.
When you're a music major, nobody asks.
Yeah.
It's all about you. Sorry, they're like, oh, you were a little flat there. Sorry, yeah.
Okay. No.
Yeah, they don't care what grade you got.
Speaking of music, I found my favorite Tampa Bay radio station, and I don't know if it always exists, but I was just scanning because I forgot my phone, so I wasn't playing anything through Bluetooth, and Ryan has, I love him, I love my husband, but he has old man taste, so I didn't feel like listening to Journey or Styx, and I was just like sort of scanning, and I found it's called Tampa Bay Throwback, I think it's like 107 something, and it's all like the R&B type jams from the 90s. In early 2000s, so I listened to a bunch of Mariah Carey, some Criss Cross, a little bit of Snoop Dogg. Oh yeah, it was a jump moment on my way to work. I was like, yeah.
I'll have to find that because I finally let my Sirius subscription lapse because I'm not driving my car.
Well, that's why we stopped ours, because Ryan, when he was driving, working for the trampoline parks, he was driving a lot more, and so he wanted the Sirius, but then like when that ended. Yeah. It wasn't worth it anymore, so we stopped the subscription. Did we do Christie's Cantina from?
We did not, because it's hard to coordinate a drink, but you know what, viewers, just do this. Take a two Benadryl and have a bottle of champagne and
go to bed and just sleep through this.
Sparkling wine, champagne, either.
Yeah. So then that's what I would recommend for this if you wanted to drink a lot with them, because that's basically the premise is there's basically sleeping syrup and.
Okay. You just reminded me something I do want to say. What kind of sleeping? Shit is she taking?
I don't know either.
Straight up, like, okay, I'm a huge fan of the movie Practical Magic. It's a dumb movie, let's be real, but I love that movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, the Belladonna that she puts in that knocks him out, like, she's like, how much did you give him? She's like, I don't know, I wasn't measuring. And, like, you can tell she probably poured, like, the whole bottle in, so I get that. Mm-hmm. But, like, it shows how much he puts in the bottle of the glass.
It was very
So cool. There's the champagne glass. It's literally, like, a half inch of it in the bottom of the champagne glass. Yeah. How strong is this shit? Like,
and sleeping medication usually comes in pill form, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what I think. I think it's propofol. I think that's what it is.
It's Michael Jackson's night-night
juice.
I'm
circling back on whichever one of you just said that we think she gets her money from, like, drugs. Maybe that's why she has this shit.
Yeah.
Like, and she even said, I'm such a screw up. I'm such a mess. It's like, well, yeah, maybe she actually has, like, some illegal shit. Because I'm like, somebody takes literally, like, this, like, tiny set, like,
and then all of a sudden
later,
they're
like,
You know, I'm like, minutes later, they're falling asleep while the gorgeous Olivia Munn describes her mother's battle with cancer.
I'm sorry, him being sleepy, though, is the funniest thing.
It was pretty funny, though.
Like, somebody wakes him up and he goes, like, it made me giggle. I was like, you're adorable.
Okay.
Even with your bad haircut.
So, him falling asleep was the office type awkward, like, oh god, just tell her you took it.
Exactly.
Tell her, hey, I got slipped something, I'm freaking out, I can barely stay awake, you gotta help me. Have her help you. Why is that so embarrassing for you, but you're gonna let yourself fall asleep in front of her?
Yeah.
So all the problems in this movie are like so stupid. Just say what's going on. Just tell the person. That, so I didn't laugh as much as I would have liked because it was kind of bad, right?
Well, that would fall under that bag of tropes, which is what you're saying. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. if you just communicate people, that's
just communicate. Something.
You like he would rather her think that he was giving a blowjob in the bathroom
than
just say, let me explain. I accidentally just took sleeping medication and I was trying to get it out of my system. Yeah. I couldn't, like,
I
she would have been like,
myself.
And she would have been like, oh my gosh, let's get you some coffee. I'll keep you up, you know, sort of thing.
And
like
that's
that,
another
you know?
Thing. He never disabuses her of the notion that he was giving his friend a blowjob.
Yeah, he's like, it's a funny story. I'll tell
you
about it.
But in this real reality, they still kiss at the end, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, also, all right, though, cool.
Doesn't really make that much sense because if you're freaking out that bad, you'd stick your fingers down. I can't do it myself. Well, the whole point is to throw up.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Oh,
I find it very simple
up.
To
yeah.
make myself
throw up.
So.
Yeah. That's what you're trying to do. So why do you need this? So it was just bad, but even it shows the like, the view she has when she opens the door. And you can clearly see the guy's hand is in his mouth. It's not.
Yeah, you can tell it's not. Yeah.
So
although the funniest part about the scene, like it still made me laugh, but it was pretty funny that they were like describing his hands like, your monstrously long fingers. I need your monstrously freakishly long fingers.
That was funny.
That character, he reminded me a lot of Ricky Gervais, where he was where he was just like, awkward. No, I'm still talking.
Is he? What's going on there? Do you?
He's going to the store He's like, what did we need to pick up? We needed something. And I was like, trying to remember. It was dryer sheets. So.
So as far as Sam, what's his nuts? Mental patient hair falling asleep. I couldn't laugh because I was just like, just tell her what happened. Just say.
Yeah.
And it was just so uncomfortable. However. Brian fighting, falling asleep. I have the writing down. I literally wrote it down. Best acting in the movie. I felt it in my bones. Like
his speech when he was tired.
Oh my gosh.
It was so funny.
His
just physically trying to keep himself awake. And then him just walking over and just grabbing the cake and eating it.
Oh my God.
That
is supposedly one of those Ambien side effects where people are like, I gained 2 pounds and I didn't know why. And it was because like they were eating in their sleep.
Maybe
it was liquid Ambien.
I've never needed that.
Yeah.
There's stories of Ambien where people would get up and eat and get up and drive.
Oh yeah.
And drive somewhere and wake up and be like,
there are murder defenses
where
people have said, I was on sleeping medication. I was totally out of my body. I don't remember, but like they have them on security camera driving to their in-law's house and like then they get stabbed.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Matt,
I don't know.
This
Matt
is a secondary podcast, which is crime
never
as well.
He never took sleeping medications, but he used to sleepwalk. He doesn't do it so much anymore. Mm. And he would order things on the internet and not know about it. And like all of a sudden this like box would show up and it was like random stuff like books. Like he ordered the, Al Gore's climate change book. I don't know why, if it was trending. He bought He bought a pair of Crocs in size 10. His foot's smaller than mine.
I was gonna say, I don't think his feet are that big.
No, they're not. Yeah. And I was like, literally,
that's
I was
so
like,
funny.
Did you take some medicine? Do you remember doing? He's like, no, I don't remember doing it. And then when we were looking at the search history on the computer, he's like, yeah, at like 4 o'clock in the morning, he's like ordering stuff off the internet. It's the weirdest
thing.
Maybe
when he sleeps, it's like he has a second identity, but it only comes out when he sleeps, and it's of someone who's very climate conscious and has big feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. A big-footed climate conscious person.
It's Bigfoot. Maybe he's Bigfoot.
I didn't sleepwalk, but I did drunk order something the other day and forgot about it until it told me it shipped, and I was like, what?
It's a nice surprise.
Although it was only like a $20 t-shirt that says Guns and Rosé. So expect for me to be wearing that shirt around town.
I'm proud of you.
It's funny, I didn't know. I don't know if I just didn't have this notification turned off or if this is a new feature on Amazon, but I guess I've been doing a lot of ordering stuff when I'm a little bit more slushy and don't remember doing it. And then I get like, your package is at your door. And I'm like, what? And like, but it's like stuff that we need. So it's like, you know, diapers for the dog or the filter for the pool. You know, I was like, oh yeah, I guess I did order this. But I didn't know what time I ordered it at.
I was taking a walk with my friend the other day, and she was talking about a friend of hers who would order things. Like, apparently this person drinks quite a bit and was ordering things, but then would remember the next day, oh, I got to order that. And then like she would have chosen next day delivery. So it would just be on her desk like before she ordered it. And so she was thinking that Amazon was like, now this is some deep
level. Oh, wow.
She was trying to tell my friend that Amazon is like monitoring her and heard her mention it and then just ordered it without like her actually clicking the button. She was like, all you have to do is just mention it while Amazon's open and it orders it.
But that has been happening though with Alexa.
I haven't used my Alexa.
Yeah, like you know, if you have it set up for purchases, you'll say, I need to get more something. But or like, oh, I need to remember to tell Alexa to order more hot dogs. And then Alexa goes, order more hot dogs. And so it's like, oh, okay. But usually Alexa says, okay, ordering hot dogs. And you're like,
right,
oh, shit.
It'll tell you.
Yeah. So.
Oh my gosh.
The other issue I had really with this movie, as far as when we're talking about, you know, things would have been so much better if they just communicated, was these stupid children.
Okay.
Who the fox kids were these? Because they, A, messed everything up. B, almost killed a guy. You know, like,
yes, they did.
He's like, they're dropping crackers into the sleeping guy's mouth, and he almost choked to death.
Like, you would have died, and people have died that way. My other issue with the children, not only because, like, Ryan's watching with me, and he's like, where are their parents? I'm like, well, not even their parents. They're in the scene, there's a lot of people who are supposedly working the wedding there. Even if I was, like, the caterer or the whatever,
like,
I would
have,
hey, kids, stop that, and then try to, like, double check the seating chart and put things back the way they were
supposed to. Which goes back to the whole factor of, why isn't there a wedding coordinator? Why isn't there somebody
and
with their
headset? Like, a place like that would come with their own.
Yeah.
Right? Like, also, you just reminded me of another thought I had while I was watching it. So the kids are moving the shit around. They all sit down and comment that they don't like where they're sitting.
Yeah, you don't have to
move.
Sit where the car is.
I know.
This
is why you don't have kids at weddings. Just don't have kids at weddings.
Yeah, but even the adults, you don't have to sit where, it's like, oh, I'm not going to sit next to this guy. Okay, no, here, let's switch over.
Just literally switch.
Yeah.
And yeah, one of the conflicts was Olivia Munn not sitting where he wanted her to sit. Just move.
Yeah. And
that's another thing where you could just be like, oh, excuse me, I think I'm going to sit here now because she and I
are friends and we need to catch up or whatever.
Yeah. And why didn't Sam Claflin realize the second they sat down when Brian sat in Guy's seat, don't write on me.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I want to see if that would work, if it would like make a filter with a dry erase marker. Sorry.
Oh, God.
It did not work.
You know, so why did he notice right away, hey,
yes,
you're not supposed to be in that seat. Don't drink that, you know.
Right. But, and that's the thing is, like, he was perfectly sober at the beginning of the day. So I'm like, who cares where the freaking name cards went? You know the glass you put the stuff in.
And you know who it is that you're supposed to be drugging.
Yeah. Right. It's the corner seat. It's literally one in the corner. So it doesn't matter what name tag is in front of it. You know he was supposed to be in the corner.
Yeah.
So it was just, it wasn't very smart, but whatever. No. It's fine. Knives out, it is not.
But I need to see that one. That should be the next Garage movie.
Okay.
Oh my God, I will happily rewatch that. I think I saw it. I saw it twice in the theaters. I brought my mom after I went to see it. It's so good. It's so good.
Everyone said it was amazing, and we hadn't seen it.
I called it.
I mean, I can't think of anything else for the movie. It was fun. It was fun.
We gotta do our called it.
Called it. Yeah.
Oh, true.
Ready for called it.
Called it. Mm-hmm. Did you write down what our called it was from the?
So yours, Christy, was great. Groundhog's Day, right? Mm.
I think, then, yeah, I was, but
Ben
that
was
work out.
And Jen had a separate one.
And the other, I know the other one that I remember because I made a note of it, but I called it was that at some point the bride was going to sleep with a stalker. So I was like, can that be retroactive?
Because you kind of got
that
it.
Kind
yeah.
of, that's
yeah,
sort
she
of
did
a
sleep
call
with
it.
Him. It was just 3 weeks ago. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you called too, Christy, that the kids are what fucks everything up with their.
Yeah.
That was pretty, I mean, yeah. no offense. That's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
It's pretty it obvious. Was, but still, I mean. Yeah, that's what started it, even though he should have been smart enough to go, it was the corner seat, so that's the yeah. one that has the stuff in it.
yeah.
And just move the glass.
I'm sorry.
Taking it away, and then later, like, poured that into the guy's drink when he wasn't looking. It's not that hard. Like,
not difficult.
Exactly.
I had called it from not last episode. I called in the beginning of the movie. I don't know if this counts. Ryan is my witness, and I have a note to it. I don't know if my voice recording helps.
We believe you.
All right, but I called that the Brian and Aisling B's character were going to hook up because I noticed that like she was kind of like making eyes at him, and I was like, oh, they're both mm-hmm. awkward. So
okay.
They're definitely going to end up, and they do. So
I'm glad you brought that up. That scene was adorable.
It was. So
he was
cute.
Feeling bad about himself, and she was just like, I've always liked you just for you. It was a very Bridget Jones moment.
It really was. Just no, I don't you want are. You to change a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then when they're like,
Billy Joel.
Yes. And then when he gets called up and he's like, I don't have anything prepared. Oh, no, I forgot.
That
and
was
then he gets
so
the
sweet.
Sweetest speech. That was, it was really good.
That was really sweet.
I was like, I did love their speech.
Yeah, that little moment was adorable.
But still, I don't think he would have gotten cast out of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't. I liked his speech, but I don't think it would have gotten him cast in a major film, though. But.
Oh, no, no. That part is not believable. I'm trying to think. So that's the only call-dits I had.
I was just looking through my notes. The only other call-dit I had, but it's not really a call-dit. It's more of a... what the fuck, you're not going to address it. And then they did at the very end, and it made me so happy that every time somebody got up to make a speech, the painting right behind their head was a wolf licking a baby's butt.
I did not notice that.
I totally noticed it. I was like, that is what the hell? I was like, I have a note saying, what the hell is this wolf licking a baby's butt? And
yeah.
then at the end in the alternate scenes, like the either the edited out
he
scenes.
Says it's like, what is this?
Yeah, like it, no, it's Aisling B. She's like, and that's a
yeah.
look at an asshole. And I'm like, yeah.
That's another discussion because the outtakes, it's clear that they taped a lot of possibilities.
Yeah.
Like yeah. As an actor in that movie, you could have not known what was gonna actually end up in the movie.
Yeah. It probably was very fun to film for sure.
Oh my god, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're in this beautiful place. I wonder how long filming even took.
I don't know. The only thing I have, and it's not a called it. It was after watching it because I'm like, I don't know if it's gonna be Greyhound Day, Groundhog's Day.
Groundhog Day,
really fast.
Groundhog's Day. I forget what Jen said hers was, but it was something similar but different. And then, honestly, what it ended
no,
up being
was... No, I called
was,
Groundhog Day, and Christy called Sliding Doors.
Sliding That's doors, what it was. Yeah. It was close to Sliding Doors. In my opinion, it's Clue. Because it's like, that's one way it could have gone.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's okay. true.
But
yeah.
how about this? Like, I felt like it was Clue in, like, a funny old lady instead of Tim Curry kind of deal. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's my take on it, but I didn't call it.
I did want to go back to the when the Oracle was talking about the alternate realities and what could have happened, and they were showing these like brief scenes. I wanted to go back and like watch it and like write down actually like what I thought was happening, but it just happened mm-hmm. so fast and it didn't make any sense. And I looked online to see if somebody had, but nobody enjoyed this movie enough to do that.
So. I know we're the only people who were kind of into it.
Yeah, it's funny, when it came out, I saw a lot of posts on Facebook that people, oh, I'm going
to
watch
it. But then nobody reacted to it after, really. Yeah.
No, I was like, okay, yeah. And yeah. that's how I felt about the movie. I was like, it was cute.
No, it wasn't.
It was cute.
Yeah.
It was
Whatever.
Cute.
Yeah.
What else cute. Are you doing? Watch
I am,
it. Who cares?
I am going to make a list before this whole mess is over and I have to go back to work of all the shows that I have watched entire seasons of all the movies, of all the documentaries, just to be like, this is what I did during quarantine. you know, watch.
Oh, I've gotten much better at cooking. I'm almost all the way done with Schitt's Creek. Yeah, I'm having fun with it, actually. Yeah.
Oh, see, I'm still just in the middle of season two on Schitt's Creek.
Season two is where it gets, like, I think episode 5 or 6 of season one was where I was like, okay, they're getting a little bit better as people, and I don't hate them. Mm-hmm. And that's where it got better in season two. I was like, okay, this is good.
I just love this.
Oh, I guess I'm in season four.
David. It's great.
David.
Yeah. They're so funny. Yeah. If y'all really want, and we could actually do, if we wanted to, it's the cheesiest thing. And the only reason why I watched it is because a wife of a friend of mine is on it. What's the name of it? It's on Netflix, and it's about some surfer kids that get mixed up in a hidden treasure thing.
I don't remember the name. Is it the Goonies? Are you thinking the
Goonies? It's very similar to the Goonies, but they're high school kids and they're all having sex with each other. It's a total
okay.
It's really cheesy. The acting's not great. Caroline's amazing in it. She's good. What is it called?
You're really selling it well.
I know. I gotta see this film.
The acting's terrible. It's real cheesy. My friend's good. My iPad is at 2%, so it's gonna die soon. However, I have no plans tomorrow night at all. So if you want to watch Knives Out tomorrow night,
okay. I'm down. I'm totally down.
I mean, I feel bad because I guess we have to do it in your garage. So
it'll be in my garage.
Obviously, yes. It's fine if you can't do it tomorrow night.
But I'll get my tech monkey to set it up.
I was gonna say,
yeah, man. It's so good.
Christy, your chair's still in my garage, so it's perfect.
Oh, okay, cool. So I don't have to walk it over.
My metal chair is still in the back of my car.
I was too drunk to even try to carry that home. I was like, I'm going to.
Yeah, I love it when you were like, I'm just leaving this here. Yeah. I was like, all right, we got room, no big.
We think we're funny.
I don't care if we have actual listeners. Like, if you listen, thank you. But honestly, this is just fun for us. So
exactly.
We find ourselves amusing.
Before my iPad dies, I do want to tell the one or two listeners we have, and whatever, just for posterity, it was Dame Christy's birthday yesterday.
Yay!
And we had a birthday Zoom, so happy birthday, Christy.
Thank you,
and
guys.
I hope that you had a very fancy, regal birthday party fit for a dame with cakes and tea.
Cool. All right.
But thanks for attending my party.
Sarah's iPad is about to die. 1%. On that note,
she's at
1%. 1%. Yeah. Christy is hungry, so we're going to end this podcast. I just would like to remind everyone to like Dames of Hallsnark on Facebook. We very much enjoy that. Please comment and share. You can email us at damesofhallsnark@gmail.com. please write and leave a review on iTunes, Stitcher.
It would really help.
Spotify. We would love it. We would like to have listeners. I know we joke about our one or two listeners, and listen, y'all are all very valuable to us, but more could be good. Listen,
that'd be fun.
We don't know until we try it.
When you look at the stats, does it really only have like 3 downloads? It's just us.
Sometimes we make double digits.
Nice.
I'll have to start forwarding them to you. Nice. All right. So here we are signing off. I have a glass that's empty, but whatever.
Clink.
All right.
Clink. Cheers.
Clink. Cheers. Love you.
Love you. Have a great night.
Bye.
All right.